October 16th. Our reading in the Old Testament today will be from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 28, verse 1. And we'll go through chapter 29, verse 32. We'll see that God is in charge of yokes. The yoke He gives you is the right one for you, no matter who may put it on your shoulders. God can even use unsaved people to help you do His will. Accept every yoke, my friend, as the yoke of God, and He will transform it from bondage to blessing. Break the light yoke, and the next yoke will be heavier. Everyone must wear a yoke. Remember the song, Gotta Serve Somebody? It's true. Everyone must wear a yoke. And then as we move on into the 29th chapter of Jeremiah, well, it's 597 B.C. here. 597, almost 600 years before the time of Christ, the Babylonians began to deport the Jews to Babylon. Jeremiah's letter to the exiles helps us understand how we can make the best of a difficult situation. Number one, accept it. Live as normal a life as you can, and put up with inconveniences without complaining. Try to be a blessing to others. Be a peacemaker, not a troublemaker. Number two, be patient. God has the timing all worked out, and His plans never fail. He knows how long and how much. Number three, trust God. Now, verse 11 here is a powerful promise to claim when you're in exile, so to speak. God thinks about you personally and is planning for you. His plans are for peace, not war, so you need not fear the future. His plans are purposeful, so let Him work out His will. No matter how difficult your situation may be, no matter how difficult your situation may be, don't waste your suffering by resisting God. And number four, and finally, avoid false hopes. It is human to indulge in false hopes and grasp at, every straw, but this approach leads to despair. Avoid the subtle voices of the false teachers with their false hopes. The Word of God will tell you what to do. And with that, let's begin our reading today in the Old Testament. October 16th, Jeremiah chapter 28, verse 1 through chapter 29, verse 32. One day in late summer of that same year, the fourth year of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, Hananiah, son of Azur, a prophet from Gibeon, addressed me, Jeremiah, publicly, in the temple, while all the priests and people listened. He said, "The Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says, I will remove the yoke of the king of Babylon from your necks. Within 2 years, I will bring back all the temple treasures that King Nebuchadnezzar carried off to Babylon. And I will bring back Jehoiachin, son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and all the other captives that were taken to Babylon. I will surely break the yoke that the king of Babylon has put on your necks. I, the Lord, have spoken." Jeremiah responded to Hananiah as they stood in front of all the priests and people at the temple. And he said, "Amen. May your prophecies come true. I hope the Lord does everything you say. I hope He does bring back from Babylon the treasures of this temple and all our loved ones. But listen now to the solemn words I speak to you in the presence of all these people. The ancient prophets who preceded you and me spoke against many nations, always warning of war, famine, and disease. So a prophet who predicts peace must carry the burden of proof. Only when his predictions come true can it be known that he is really from the Lord." Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke off Jeremiah's neck and broke it. And Hananiah said again to the crowd that had gathered, "The Lord has promised that within 2 years he will break the yoke of oppression from all the nations now subject to King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon." At that, Jeremiah left the temple area. Soon afterward, the Lord gave this message to Jeremiah. "Go and tell Hananiah, this is what the Lord says. You have broken a wooden yoke, but you have replaced it with a yoke of iron. The Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says, I have put a yoke of iron on the necks of all these nations, forcing them into slavery under King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. I put everything, even the wild animals, under his control. Then Jeremiah the prophet said to Hananiah, "Listen, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, but the people believe your lies. Therefore, the Lord says you must die. Your life will end this very year because you have rebelled against the Lord." 2 months later, Hananiah died. Jeremiah wrote a letter from Jerusalem to the elders, priests, prophets, and all the people who had been exiled to Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar. This was after King Jehoiachin, the queen mother, the court officials, the leaders of Judah, and all the craftsmen had been deported from Jerusalem. He sent the letter with Elasa, son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, son of Hilkiah, when they went to Babylon as King Zedekiah's ambassadors to Nebuchadnezzar. This is what Jeremiah's letter said: "The Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, sends this message to all the captives he has exiled to Babylon from Jerusalem. Build homes and plan to stay. Plant gardens and eat the food you produce. Marry and have children. Then find spouses for them. And have many grandchildren. Multiply. Do not dwindle away. And work for the peace and prosperity of Babylon. Pray to the Lord for that city where you are held captive. For if Babylon has peace, so will you. The Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says, do not let the prophets and mediums who are there in Babylon trick you. Do not listen to their dreams because they prophesy lies in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. The truth is that you will be in Babylon for 70 years. But then I will come and do for you all the good things I have promised, and I will bring you home again. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me in earnest, you will find me when you seek me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you and bring you home again to your own land. You may claim that the Lord has raised up prophets for you in Babylon. But this is what the Lord says about the king who sits on David's throne and all those still living here in Jerusalem, your relatives who were not exiled to Babylon. This is what the Lord Almighty says: I will send war, famine, and disease upon them, and make them like rotting figs, too bad to eat. Yes, I will pursue them with war, famine, and disease, and I will scatter them around the world. In every nation where I send them, I will make them an object of damnation, horror, contempt, and mockery. For they refuse to listen to me, though I have spoken to them repeatedly through my prophets. And you who are in exile have not listened either, says the Lord. Therefore, listen to this message from the Lord, all you captives there in Babylon. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says about your prophets: Ahab, son of Koliah, and Zedekiah, son of Mahaziah, who are telling you lies in my name. I will turn them over to Nebuchadnezzar for a public execution. Their terrible fate will become proverbial, so that whenever the Judean exiles want to curse someone, they will say, "May the Lord make you like Zedekiah and Ahab, whom the king of Babylon burned alive. For these men have done terrible things among my people. They have committed adultery with their neighbor's wives and have lied in my name. I am a witness to this, says the Lord." The Lord sent this message to Shemaiah, the Nehelamite in Babylon. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says: You wrote a letter on your own authority to Zephaniah, son of Mahaziah, the priest, and you sent copies to the other priests and people in Jerusalem. You said to Zephaniah, "The Lord has appointed you to replace Jehoiada as the priest in charge of the house of the Lord. You are responsible to put anyone who claims to be a prophet in the stocks and neck irons." So why have you done nothing to stop Jeremiah from Anathoth, who pretends to be a prophet among you? Jeremiah sent a letter here to Babylon, predicting that our captivity will be a long one. He said we should build homes and plan to stay for many years. He said we should plant fruit trees, because we will be here to eat the fruit for many years to come. But when Zephaniah, the priest, received Shemaiah's letter, he took it to Jeremiah and read it to him. Then the Lord gave this message to Jeremiah: Send an open letter to all the exiles in Babylon. Tell them, this is what the Lord says concerning Shemaiah the Nehelamite, since he has prophesied to you when I did not send him, and has tricked you into believing his lies. I will punish him and his family. None of his descendants will see the good things I will do for my people, for he has taught you to rebel against me. Now I, the Lord, have spoken. October 16th. And now, as we turn our attention to the New Testament, our reading today will be in the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 1 through 20. We'll see that the work in Ephesus was not easy, and Timothy wanted a new assignment. But Paul urged him to stay where he was and get the job done. The next time you want to abandon your assigned place, well, consider the arguments Paul gave Timothy for staying where he was. Stay at your post. God will empower you as you pray. Stay there for the work's sake. What Paul warned the Ephesian elders about had come true. False teachers were in the church. The pastor's job is to warn them and teach the people the truth. If he abandoned the flock, Timothy would be a hireling and not a shepherd. And do it for the Lord's sake. Jesus died to save sinners, and he lives to equip and enable his servants to do the work of the ministry. The same God who empowered Paul could empower Timothy and can empower us today, because God is faithful. And do it for our own sake. You see, God had equipped Timothy, called him, and gave him a solemn charge. There was a battle to fight, and he dare not run away. If we flee the post of duty, we rob ourselves of opportunities to grow, to serve, and to glorify God. When the winds of adversity blow, set your sails in the right direction, and let Christ handle the rudder. Otherwise, you may be shipwrecked. And with that, let's begin our reading today in the New Testament. October 16th, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 20. This letter is from Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, appointed by the command of God our Savior and by Christ Jesus our hope. It is written to Timothy, my true child in the faith. May God our Father and Christ Jesus our Lord give you grace, mercy, and peace. When I left for Macedonia, I urged you to stay there in Ephesus and stop those who are teaching wrong doctrine. Don't let people waste time in endless speculation over myths and spiritual pedigrees, for these things only cause arguments. They don't help people live a life of faith in God. The purpose of my instruction is that all the Christians there would be filled with love that comes from a pure heart, a clear conscience, and sincere faith. But some teachers have missed this whole point. They have turned away from these things and spend their time arguing and talking foolishness. They want to be known as teachers of the law of Moses, but they don't know what they are talking about, even though they seem so confident. We know these laws are good when they are used as God intended, but they were not made for people who do what is right. They are for people who are disobedient and rebellious, who are ungodly and sinful, who consider nothing sacred and defile what is holy, who murder their father or mother or other people. These laws are for people who are sexually immoral, for homosexuals and slave traders, for liars and oath breakers, and for those who do anything else that contradicts the right teaching that comes from the glorious good news entrusted to me by our blessed God. How thankful I am to Christ Jesus our Lord for considering me trustworthy and appointing me to serve Him, even though I used to scoff at the name of Christ. I hunted down His people, harming them in every way I could. But God had mercy on me because I did it in ignorance and unbelief. Oh, how kind and gracious the Lord was! He filled me completely with faith and the love of Christ Jesus. This is a true saying, and everyone should believe it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I was the worst of them all. But that is why God had mercy on me, so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of His great patience with even the worst sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in Him and receive eternal life. Glory and honor to God forever and ever. He is the eternal King, the unseen one who never dies. He alone is God. Amen. Timothy, my son, here are my instructions for you, based on the prophetic words spoken about you earlier. May they give you the confidence to fight well in the Lord's battles. Cling tightly to your faith in Christ, and always keep your conscience clear, for some people have deliberately violated their consciences. As a result, their faith has been shipwrecked. Hymenaeus and Alexander are two examples of this. I turned them over to Satan, so they would learn not to blaspheme God. Psalm 86, verses 1 through 17. Preserve my life is the theme here in the first few verses. David was in trouble again. As he always did, he turned to the Lord for help, and he presented some reasons why God should answer him. God was his God, and he was God's servant. God was merciful, and he needed mercy. He wanted God alone to be glorified in the victory. God is good and great and ready to help. Unite my heart was another cry. We'll find here in verses 11 through 13. A divided heart leads only to instability, because you cannot serve two masters. That's not a challenge, it's just a fact. With a single heart, fear the Lord, learn from the Lord, obey the Lord, and praise His name. And then David prays that God would strengthen my hand. This is in verses 14 through 17. We'll see that David's strength and experience were inadequate to face the foe. He needed the strength of the Lord. In his chapter-by-chapter Bible commentary, Warren Wiersbe says that David knew his theology, and that helped him in his praying. You see, the better you know God, the better you can approach Him with your needs. Psalm 86, verses 1 through 17, a prayer of David. Bend down, O Lord, and hear my prayer. Answer me, for I need your help. Protect me, for I am devoted to you. Save me, for I serve you and trust you. You are my God. Be merciful, O Lord, for I am calling on you constantly. Give me happiness, O Lord, for my life depends on you. O Lord, you are so good, so ready to forgive, so full of unfailing love for all who ask your aid. Listen closely to my prayer, O Lord. Hear my urgent cry. I will call to you whenever trouble strikes, and you will answer me. Nowhere among the pagan gods is there a God like you, O Lord. There are no other miracles like yours. All the nations, and you made each one, will come and bow before you, Lord. They will praise your great and holy name. For you are great and perform great miracles. You alone are God. Teach me your ways, O Lord, that I may live according to your truth. Grant me purity of heart, that I may honor you. With all my heart, I will praise you, O Lord, my God. I will give glory to your name forever, for your love for me is very great. You have rescued me from the depths of death. O God, insolent people rise up against me. Violent people are trying to kill me. And you mean nothing to them. But you, O Lord, are a merciful and gracious God, slow to get angry, full of unfailing love and truth. Look down and have mercy on me. Give strength to your servant. Yes, save me, for I am your servant. Send me a sign of your favor. Then those who hate me will be put to shame, for you, O Lord, help and comfort me. Proverbs 25, verse 17. Don't visit your neighbors too often, or you will wear out your welcome.